Welcome to News Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, our guest is a new neighbor of ours, Randy Immerman. And she, you can't believe this, she is the founder and CEO of FilmFest 919. If you were had your head in the sand in the fall, last October, she brought to the Silver Spot Theater a film festival with films that became Oscar contenders and Oscar winners like Roma, The Favorite, Green Book, Shoplifters, and many others. So we've asked her to come talk to us about FilmFest, how it got started, and what's going to be there'll be another one maybe next October. Randy, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Talk to us about what FilmFest 919 is and where that name came from.
Right. Well, FilmFest 919 is a film festival that is focusing on feature films. It came about, I've been working in the film festival world for 33 plus years. It's a passion, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, a little bit later. I was living in Palm Beach, Florida, and I ran the Palm Beach International Film Festival for 20 years. I was involved in that. And I was sitting around with Carol Marshall, who's my business partner, several years ago, back in like 2013, 2014. And we're like, you know, we do this every April, around March, April. Like, you know, we need to do this somewhere else. You know, that was
What time of year did the Palm Beach?
In April, so, March, in the spring, depending on where Easter sat. And we're like, where is a great market for this? You know, we were looking for a place that's highly educated, you know, a smaller market, you know, that had people with leisure time, that had people with a real zest for the arts. But maybe there was something missing. And we did our research and we came upon Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where I have to be honest, neither of us had ever been in our life.
No, you're teasing me. What was it about what did the research show about Chapel Hill?
Well, it showed, you know, this is a college town. It is highly educated. It has the right demographics of what we were trying to reach. We wanted to reach people that wanted to see film that had, you know, quality film. Film that you're so interested in meeting the filmmakers. Because when you go to a festival or you have a conversation with a filmmaker, it's so interesting because, you know, that's the brains, that's the heart behind it. We also looked at the type of events that were already in an area, so we would be different. We were very familiar with Full Frame, which is a documentary festival in Durham. And we had advised so many filmmakers to enter in Full Frame because we know how successful it is and the quality of what they show. So here we came about, okay, we're going to do a film festival in the fall in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
And you'd never been here before.
Never been here. However, as we dig down a little bit deeper, there wasn't the kind of movie theater that we needed in Chapel Hill.
What kind of movie theater do you need for a festival?
What we want, we want a high-quality, state-of-the-art, where there's a nice hotel and lodging very closely, a town around with things to do. And at that point, there was just nothing here. So, you know, we're still keeping our eyes out on the area. And along these lines, I meet the gentlemen who were starting Silver Spot Cinema.
Still not brand new anymore, but still looking new.
Looking new. But at the time, they had just opened one theater in Naples, Florida. They were from out of the U.S., and they were looking to expand in the U.S. So I enter into the picture. And one day, you know, we're talking, looking at new locations to build. One of the owners calls me and says, have you ever heard of a place called Chapel Hill, North Carolina? It's like, as a matter of fact, I have. So let's just say the stars aligned at that point.
Well, so that was a couple of years ago, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's still, you know, Silver Spot's been open going on 4 years in October already, believe it or not. So, hey, we have our festival. You know, I know the time length it takes to build a theater. And this one happened to go pretty smoothly and very quickly. I know people who live here might not think so, but for a movie theater, it went really well. So we start to put our film festival together. You know, at this point, we're talking to our counterparts in basically, I'll say, L.A., on who's going to support it, getting some a little bit of national support to get us going.
So are you at this point trying to identify the particular films, or are you trying to build your contact base?
Well, we had the contact base. We were getting their buy-in to do something in a Chapel Hill, North
what
Carolina.
What do they have to give you to? Or
what do they have to give us?
Yeah, why do you need them to buy in?
Because we need their movies. We need the kind of movies that we're looking for, too. You know, we weren't going to go out for submissions. We were going to curate a film festival.
So what does that mean, that you curate rather than ask for submissions?
Well, when you ask for submissions, you get filmmakers from all over the world to send their product. And you already had a film festival here that does that with Carrboro and River Run and several others in the area. We weren't going to show documentaries because you had Full Frame. So we wanted to enter a new space into the area because you already had the other things, and they do it well.
So feature films, which is your interest.
Yes.
These are the blockbusters. I mean, these are the—
Well, not necessarily. If you look at even the films we played, those were independent films that were picked up. They're just at a different level. We were going to – well, let me go back to my story really quickly, and then we'll get there. How about that?
No, you keep going.
So we were working on – I don't want to get people confused because I know I talk in circles, for one, all the time. I get me on a tangent. So we were talking. People were giving the buy-in because we had the relationships with everybody.
Can you give an example or two?
The independent studios, you know, like the Fox Searchlights, Focus Features, you know, those kind of people.
Well, do you just not do the big companies? You don't call them?
Well, not necessarily if it works. And we saw that this year with a film that won an Oscar and was our closing night film. But there was an interest because they were going to help us out because we have the relationship. We even had a little bit of seed money to get us going out of someone, you know, a corporate sponsor out of L.A. Then, unfortunately, their house bill came along, House Bill 2, I believe it was called, that really a lot of people shied away from the market.
Oh, really? So while you're trying to build this controversial bill out of North Carolina, threw a logjam put North Carolina on a map in a non-positive way.
Right, just like it did with sports. How many? I know some ACC tournaments were lost.
Did your contacts there say, gosh, Randy, I'm really sorry. I love you. Love the idea of what you're doing. But right now we can't come to North Carolina with full support.
Right. With our full hearts into it. And you need people. And this was also going to align with Silver Spot's opening. You know, so it bring the excitement into Silver Spot. You know, we bring media with us and everything else. So it was tabled for a while.
Wow. And how did you get it off the table?
Well, the day that bill went away, we're like, let's do it. So we went back to our contacts. We hired a program director with Claudia Puig. And Claudia, so many people know, because Claudia was the head film critic for USA Today for 18 years.
So she's helping you get into the future, what kinds of films will be coming.
Right. Well, we all work together on planning our dream list of what we want to bring in. And then between the three of us, we get it. Because Claudia is also the president of the L.A. Film Critics Association. So I've been in the motion picture industry on the exhibition side, which means movie theaters, for majority of my career. I actually started off as an entertainment reporter, and that's what brought me back to movie theaters. Carol Marshall, my partner, is a publicist, and she's been everyone from Johnny Carson to Robert Redford to Meryl Streep. She's Peter Jackson's publicist now. And then Claudia with the, you know, who Claudia is and her name and the recognizability of her name. So between the three of us and 100-plus years experience in the film festival world. We're this great little team that
with
are here now in Chapel
contacts,
Hill.
With lots of contacts.
With lots of contacts, and most important, such a passion for what we're doing, which is what you need to do something like this, because you're not doing it for the non-paycheck.
Oh, if you joined us late, I'm visiting with Randy Emmerman, and we're talking about the project about which she has a lot of passion, her film festival. We're talking about how it worked last October and how we expect it to work next October. She and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. If you did join us late, Randy Emmerman is our guest. She's a Chapel Hillian, a new one, but maybe more enthusiastic than many of the people who've been living here for such a long time. And she is the CEO of and founder of FilmFest 919. It was a big success. First time in last October, a big success. And we're talking about that success and how that success might carry over into a second annual
film festival. There is a second one coming up, October 9th through 13th.
Well, I'm getting ready for that. I'm not really quite understanding how you pulled it off the first time.
That makes two of us now.
Tell us, you did tell us about how you got interested in Chapel Hill, how you made a partnership with Silver Spot Theater as the theater was coming to Chapel Hill. How did that partnership work? What did Silver Spot do for you? What did you do for Silver Spot?
Well, for Silver Spot, for us, it gave us the right kind of venue that we needed to use. You know, something that's exciting, somewhere people want to go, and something that's very important, what we did with this festival, which is different from anything else around, sports aside, is we brought in all your key national media. And so it has to give them something else to talk about.
What did they get from our film festival that they hadn't gotten from other venues like the one that you worked with in Palm Beach?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and a filmmaker who just recently won an Oscar said to me, is this film festival, you know, our films we're looking at come from Cannes, Venice, Toronto, Telluride, is really the first one of the awards tour, as they call it, for this time of year for these films, that's for moviegoers. It's for people who are going to the movies. It doesn't cost thousands and thousands of dollars just to get a ticket, you know, for the anybody.
Well, this is my main question. How much does it cost?
Same thing as going to the movies.
So the film festival is in the context of just come see the movie.
Come see the.
Can I buy a pass to see everything?
You can. You can sponsor it to support us. But it's for the moviegoers. You know, there might be a few events that are a couple dollars more, but nothing's extravagant. Nothing's in the thousands of dollars just to go to one or a couple films. Again, unless you want to support us, which is awesome.
But
just for the moviegoer, it's like going to the movies. What's different about it is you're seeing it before anybody else. I mean, there's films that we played that are just now opening up to the public. It's seeing a movie in a movie theater, which is it's a shared experience. At a film festival, you're not going to get out of your theater seat and go right to your car to go home. You're going to go in the lobby. You're going to meet like people. You're going to talk about what you just saw in between movies. There could be a filmmaker there, you know. And as we grow, we'll be able to bring more and more filmmakers. But we had the stars of Roma here. We had Corinne Kasama, probably pronouncing it wrong, who directed Destroyer. We had Nick Vallelonga from Green Book, who won an Oscar. We had Paul Weitz, who's directed so many wonderful films, who directed Bel Canto. You get to meet these people. You get to talk to these people.
How does
that
work? You show the film the way it would be done ordinarily at Silver Spot in those comfortable seats, and you see it. Mm-hmm. So, and you pay $10, $12,
whatever the going price is.
Whatever the price is.
Right.
You know, so what are you giving me extra at the festival? You say I have the opportunity.
Right. Well, you have the opportunity. So the filmmaker is going to be there, or could be there for many films. You're going to get to meet them. They're going to intro the film, and then we're going to have a Q&A after. And it's not just one person and the front asking questions. You can ask the questions. And it's not like they're walking a red carpet like the other film festivals that I mentioned. You could see them at the beginning waving to everybody, and you're never going to see them again unless you're of a certain that you get to go to a private party. They're here because they want to be here. They're here to hang out. You're going to get to know these people during the week. If you talk to people who went, you know, they're shocked. 2 years ago, we brought a movie called The Florida Project in, just as a taste to invite some people to show them what the plan was for the film festival. The Florida Project is a film that was a darling out of the Cannes Film Festival. It did the whole circuit. It was on everybody's top 10. It was nominated for Golden Globes and Oscars and everything else. And Chris Burgosh, who was the writer-producer, was here. And I remember some college students coming up to me because they were very familiar with their last film, Tangerine, which I actually played at my last festival and how they were on my radar, who said, well, will he talk to me? Because they were fans. I'm like, of course he's going to talk to you. If not, he wouldn't even be here. And they had the best time, and they're still talking about it. And Chris actually came back again in 2018, and he'll be back in 2019, as will others. And that's how you grow a community for the festival.
How do you structure that opportunity to meet these celebrities?
We introduce them to people, you know, and they're there in the lobby and we'll say, come over, come meet, you know, especially if it's people we know. And if it's not, you know, we want to make this very friendly. You know, I like to say it's almost like going away for camp for 5 days. And because you meet the people, you know, they come for the first movie, then you start seeing them in between all the shows. And we want everyone to just have a good time. You know, it's not like we're sitting up in an office between shows or hiding away. We're just in there in the lobby to meet everybody.
It's interesting to me, Randy, that one of the great things I remember about movies in the old days was you would go, you'd see the movie, and then you'd kind of hang around.
Right.
And talk about it. You'd see in the small towns, you'd see your neighbors. So there would be people. More and more as we get distant from each other, we see the movie and walk out. And we don't hang around and talk to people. You provide that. You
institutionalize that. We do. And we're looking to expand on that also as we grow. And, you know, there's a bar at Silver Spot. I mean, that's one of the reasons these new theaters are being built the way they are, so you don't have to get back in your car and go somewhere else. You can stay right there, you know, have a coffee afterwards, talk about it. And we're going to build in, God willing, come this October, even more of those experiences.
Well, tell me, Silver Spot just keeps coming up and coming up. How does the partner – there's obviously a partnership with Silver Spot.
Right.
How does that – what do you give them? You just give them an audience and – pay, do they get do
they get
they,
paid.
Get,
yeah,
they get the ticket, paid. Or do you get a share of some of the tickets? You don't have to tell me the details,
yeah,
but just
yeah.
Generally, how
yeah,
does that
well,
partnership work?
The box office basically goes, just like if we were distributing a movie to them, there's the percentage goes to Silver Spot, and then we get a little bit. But we still have to pay for the film, so that's where other means of raising money come into effect.
Is there just one film at a time in the film festival?
No. We're in right now 4 theaters, showing 5 films a day. So it's constantly moving. It's
all
constantly moving.
The other thing about some festivals is there are awards made after the festival. So how do you select? Do you give awards, and if so, how do you select?
Yes.
Them?
So we'll be moving into the juried competition. But we did not have the budget this year, you know, because that's bringing in jury, bringing in more people. But we did give awards this year. We gave the Breakthrough Awards to the actresses from Roma because, wow, and they both got nominated for Oscars. How exciting. I mean, that was so surreal. And then
you were kind of the advance guard, even before Golden Globes and all of that. You identified.
We actually gave both Yulitza, who got nominated for Best Actress, and Mariana, who got nominated for Best Supporting Actresses, their first awards. And then Nick Vallelonga, we gave the Spotlight Spotlight Award for Green Book. And it's pretty surreal. Right. And then we also had the audiences voting for their favorite film. So we gave a audience favorite award, which went to Cap or None.
Wow. Well, now, did your participants, your audience, you said you had four or five films going at once sometimes about that. Did they typically stay in on one day and watch four or five films?
They would.
Move from one site to another?
And that's how typically a lot of, you know, you want to see that. And what was really exciting, obviously from me being at Silver Spot, even though I wasn't always here, you know, I was over all the theaters for what I did, you get to know your audience and who your audience is. And the other thing is I could tell because of the reserve seating who were new to Silver Spot and who weren't by where they sat
now,
in the auditorium.
How could you tell that? Now, this is
because so many people who are Silver Spot, you know, go to Silver Spot alike a lot, love that first row with the ottomans. But people who haven't been there, as with any movie theater, you don't want to sit near the front, correct?
That's exactly right. Well, what do the people who sit in the ottomans get that the rest of us don't get?
The cozy ottoman. That's my favorite seat in the place. And whenever I'm bringing a person to the movies first and I'm like, we're going to sit in the first row, they look at me like, are you nuts? Which I am, but, you know. But anyway, so it you could tell who your audience is, you know, and that's a plus. And the other thing, it brought a lot of new audiences to Silver Spot and to Chapel Hill. Because you were talking about people, how you get to know people and watching them go to film from film to film. And we wanted audience feedback also because we're new and didn't have marketing dollars. And we still did 3,200 people.
Wow.
And who, again, who are you people, basically? And we learned that a lot of people traveled in from Raleigh, from Wilmington, from Charlotte, from Greensboro. Because they're film lovers and they followed the national media. You know, Variety wrote about us, Hollywood Reporter, IMDb, we were on their cover page, Awards Daily, Vanity Fair. And people read about these things. And I mean, two of them called us the next best festival on the award circuit.
Wow.
And again, Chapel Hill, North Carolina is in everything. And you asked me before about the name. We had to do something different. You know, there's so many film festivals in the world. There's thousands and thousands of film festivals. And we wanted to enter into a conversation. Again, a lot of what we do is also for the national. Without the national media, without the attention, you're not going to get the film. You're not going to get the level of filmmakers. And as the years go on and we grow and there's this continued following, the type of people coming in will grow organically with it.
Well, if you joined us late, you missed a great conversation with Randy Emmerman, and we're going to keep on talking about her film festival at the Silver Spot, both what happened last October and what's going to happen next October. We'll do that after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I've been talking to Randy Emmerman. She is the founder and CEO of FilmFest 919, which just exploded onto the Chapel Hill scene last October, bringing Oscar contenders and winners and nominees to the Chapel Hill and surrounding audience well in advance of the attention that those films got nationally. It was just like spring training in Florida, you know, where you get to see at a small level. But, Randy, talk to us a little bit about how, well in advance, how you sort of get in the loop, the Los Angeles loop, we'll call it, of what kinds of films, I don't want to just say, are going to be really interesting 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. And how you're going to get them lined up, and how you select them, and then how you get them on board.
Right. Well, the most important thing is our catchphrase: catch them before they catch on. You know, these are the films that are not your, you know, your blockbuster $200 million produced films that you know about, you know, that we know now what's opening in 2020 and beyond. These are films that are still being made today that will come on the scene in the fall. We research. We keep our – I mean, I read everything out there. We talk to everybody out there on what's coming up, what's in post-production, what's in pre-production, what's being made right now, which is key. It's really the things that are being made right now that will be – you know, in the fall cycle of films. They're not necessarily ones we even know the names of yet. You know, if I happen to have known of Green Book at this time last year because I knew Nick Vallelonga from other festivals. And you watch these filmmakers that you've known for years and years and years, and they get then to the next step. Like speaking to Nick, I'll use Nick as an example. Hey, Randy, I've got a film, and this one's going to win an Oscar. Randy, oy vey, Nick, not another film. You've got to be kidding me.
Is Nick calling you or are you calling Nick?
It's someone I had a relationship with, okay? Not, a, you know, that I knew from his past films. And he knows, you know, the word's out there. We have another film festival and, you know, you get the call. I have a film for you.
One of the things, I'm sorry to interrupt you because you're really on a roll, in this, but I'm seeing this better, that because you've worked with someone like Nick, he knows – you may not be the biggest fan magazine or whatever it takes, but you're important because you got a reputation for choosing and you're in the business of – and so you're on his checklist of people to call to try to promote his film and tell people about it.
Right. And we're also in the business – one thing we did before in the other festival that we were heavily vested in of helping our filmmakers too. Not just, you know, giving them advice or telling them what's right or wrong, watching a film. There was a film called Broadway by the legends who were there. Back in the, I think, 2000, I played the first one. And the filmmaker called me and like, what do you think of my film? Anyone who's ever been in Broadway was in this documentary. I said, Rick passed away last year, which is so sad, but Rick, you've got something here, but you got to edit it. Mm. You know, 3 hours and 45 minutes. No one is ever going to see your film. Got to get it down. Still ended up being a little bit too long. But till the day Rick passed away, years and years, and we played three of his films after that. You know, there's these other kids. I call them the Squirrel Trap kids. They had, again, I'm going back to 2000, 2001, this little short that wasn't the best film I ever saw. But they did everything right to get my attention. They sent me – the name of the film was Squirrel Trap. They sent me these little squirrels. Every single day I got one in the mail. It was before email or anything like that. I finally said, I'll bury it in the festival for you, you know. And I could do it with shorts. And, you know, at that time Palm Beach was in its early years. And then as the years went on, I remember – I used to sit in their crappy Hollywood apartment and help them edit their films because they wanted help and they were so willing to take it. And last year they had one of the darlings out of South by Southwest. You know, they have real movies now with Octavia Spencer supporting them and, you know, the cast, Alice and Jenny and the people that are in their films. It's like, I feel like they're my kids. You know, you just embrace it. And they call, you know, you get this relationship, CRISPR Gosh, with, you know, the Florida Project. You meet these people. You maintain relationships. You know, every time I go out to L.A., we get everyone together from year one. When I used to live in L.A., the week after Thanksgiving, every Saturday, I used to do a big party that Saturday at my house because it was my birthday, the holidays, and everyone was supposed to bring a toy for Toys for Tots. So it became really well known. And even if I forgot to tell people about it, and it was all geared around people who were from the film festival. And I remember when I moved, my neighbors called me and said, everybody showed up at your house for the party and you don't live there anymore, you know. But we develop relationships, and that's one of the things that I would say is one of my very good talents. And not just with the filmmakers, But the moviegoers, we want them to have the same experience. Like, they can't wait to come back because they want to be part of this again. And they meet people. And they, and then when they go out to L.A., they get together with them or wherever out the world they're from.
Wow.
And that's what makes this so exciting. So back to how we find these films. It's the relationships we've developed, whether it's with the distributors, whether it's with the filmmakers, whether it's in, you know, someone who's in the film. And then back the research. Like, I'm starting to see now what could possibly be the early Oscar contenders for next year. And now's the time of year, and as we get, you know, closer and closer to the film festival, I mean, now we're talking, you know, we're talking months before the film festival, and I know we're going to be talking about this as we get closer and closer. We're going to still be hearing this, but and it starts to all gel together. You know, we have a wish list, and it's starting right now. It might only have five films on it.
So you know, this is your wish list. But what would be the earliest that you would sign somebody up?
It really comes together, quite honestly, in September because of Toronto. Like, we go back to Nick. When I was talking to Nick about Green Book, he didn't have a distributor. That was an independent film. Universal did not make that film. They just they acquired it and released the film. So we really didn't know Universal for sure until Green Book for sure, or Nick being able to come till 2 weeks before the festival.
Wow.
But again, after the Toronto Film Festival, which ends September 15th, it comes together very quickly. But it's and we're under so many embargoes
before that.
This is the
really stress time for you that you've got your film festival coming up, and you don't even have them all signed up yet.
But we basically know. I mean, we can't say who's coming. You know, book hotel rooms yet, which is it's a training process locally, but we do know more or less who's coming. You know,
wow.
We've been working on it. By this point, we've been through Cannes. We've been through Venice. We've been to Telluride. Toronto's the last little piece. And then they focus. Again, we know the people. We know basically whether, you know, what's going to happen. We don't necessarily know who's coming in that early. But we've been doing this for so long. I've been doing this 33 years.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. And then I want to come back and plug into some of your expertise, because I've got some other questions for you that are sort of indirectly related to the film festival. If you join us late, I'm visiting with the founder and CEO of FilmFest 919, Randy Emmerman. She is a Chapel Hill neighbor of ours, and we're going to continue our conversation after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin, and I'm visiting with Randy Emmerman. She's one of our new neighbors in Chapel Hill. And the reason she came is because she is the CEO and founder of FilmFest 919. Randy, I'm real excited about I missed last October. I'm not going to miss next October Film Festival. Thank you for bringing this exciting venture to Chapel
Thank
Hill.
You.
Well, you're an expert, and you choose movies based on what you know about them and the people you know. But what does it take to make a good movie? In parentheses, you've already told us that some of your favorite people have delivered to you some movies which weren't in good shape. What makes for a good movie?
Well, I think you're going to ask that people too many questions, and they're going to give you a million different answers.
I just want your answer.
My answer is also you're also looking for movies that you know a certain market is going to be drawn to. For example, in Chapel Hill, horror films don't do that much business, and I obviously know that from programming film from movie theaters and statistics that are available. But to me, what makes a good movie is the filmmakers stuck to the story. They didn't go off on different tangents. You know, this is the story had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And even if the end was left open, it gave you something to talk about afterwards. Mm. You know, the quality of what you were watching, the sound was okay, visually what it looked like on the screen, most important, and so many filmmakers don't get this right, is the pacing of the track behind it, meaning the music.
Oh, really?
That's one of the most important things in a budget figure that needs to be in your movie. The editing, the pacing. I mean, if that pacing goes off, I mean, what makes a love story a love story? They look in their eyes and it's subconscious maybe to you, but the music softly playing behind it, or that thriller where, you know, the music, the pace is brought up. That all is part of making a great movie.
Well.
And, of course, talent. Talent that I can actually act. And we might see a lot of big films where that might be questionable. But everything came together.
Well, let me ask you another question. This is entirely different. I'm just going to – the movie business is changing, isn't it?
I mean, yes, it is.
About Netflix and Amazon not just showing us movies but producing movies, the technology, the expensive movie cameras of yesterday can be improved and cost much less than they used to.
Cell phones.
Yeah.
I think it's opened the business up for many more filmmakers, which I find fantastic. I still feel that movies – I'll use Roma as an example. That movie was meant to be seen on a movie theater screen. I have not seen it on a television set. I do not plan on ever watching it on a television set. But it was so beautiful. So beautiful, and, you know, to hear it with those speakers all around a room and on that screen. And I don't care if you have a 90-inch screen at home or, you know, a surround sound. It's the shared environment. And granted, not every movie can make it to the movie theater screen, hence where there's so many different kind of festivals around. And it's important to support all of those festivals and see the movies as a moviegoer, because you are seeing it the way the filmmaker intended it to be seen. And I do think we will see a changing model theatrically. There's been a lot of talk with the Netflix and the Oscars, and there was big articles just out over the weekend from Steven Spielberg. But it's got to change. I mean, I grew up in this business.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. As it changes in Netflix, Amazon, and other non-movie theater films are going to be in contention. And are you going to deal with them even though they sprung out of this way of original presentation?
We are going to play films that were meant to be seen on a movie theater screen. When we programmed Roma – And Netflix did go out to movie theaters to play it, but the theatrical window wasn't wide enough for theaters. And that's not what, you know, was intended. I do think you are going to see this change. You know, Amazon has protected somewhat of a theatrical window for the movies that they wanted to go out first in a movie theater. And it's something the industry's talking about. Whether it's certain movie theater chains that do it. But again, Roma needs to be seen on a movie theater screen. It's back. It's playing at, you know, it did play at the Chelsea,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm so glad they brought it in, you know, around the Oscar time. And so many people had the opportunity to see it where it was meant to be seen. A lot of times I go back to the story of Saturday Night Fever. When I was in college, I saw Saturday Night Fever in a movie theater. I saw it many, many, many times in a movie theater because I thought that girl was so glamorous, you know, got the guys, the disco. I wanted to be that girl. Jump back 30 years later, I saw it at a special screening at the Academy with the whole cast and everybody else. Seen it a million times on TV before that. And I'm watching it and I'm like, that's a different movie. Now, granted, I'm 30 years older. And all those other times, though, I was watching it at home on a television where you may fall asleep, you might talk, you might go to the phone, you might go up and down to the kitchen, you might be yelling at your kids. There's a lot of things going on. But when I saw it again in a movie theater, I grew up.
You fell in love with it again.
I fell in love with it, but a different Saturday Night Fever, the grown-up version.
Well, Randy, gosh, I could I'm enjoying this so much, and I've got so much more to learn from you. Thank you again, particularly on behalf of people who might have joined us late for the Film Fest 919, both what happened last October and what's coming together for next October. We'll look forward to talking to you again when we get closer to the October presentation of Film Fest 919.
Thank you very much, and looking forward as well.
Great. Thanks to Randy Immerman for her wisdom and for sharing it with us. Thanks to you for listening. This is D.G. Martin, Who's Talking, and I'll be back here before you know it.